Hi, listeners. Welcome to the She Speaks Life podcast, a weekly encouragement where we share our God stories. I'm your host, Jamie Elizabeth, and I am so glad you are spending time with us today to listen. Hi, friends. Welcome to this week's episode. Today, I have the pleasure of having Heather Creekmore with us. I'm really excited for her to share some truths about the comparison trap that we've all faced sometime in our life and how competing with another negatively affects who we are. She wrote and published her book called The Burden of Better, where it's completely full from front to back on where comparison stems from to how to release that competitiveness in every area of our life. I am so excited to talk about this. Thank you for being here, Heather. Hi.
Hey, it's my pleasure. It's so fun to be with you.
Yes. And we were just talking about it, but Heather and I live pretty close to each other, and we found that out over Instagram. And so fun to have another podcaster. I love your podcast, and it talks all about, you know, body image to comparing, all those topics that I think us women are familiar with. And I'm so glad you're a voice for that to encourage us that we don't have to live with that, that we can release that to the Lord and live with freedom. So I just love it if you could share with us more about yourself and really where did this whole struggle start for you with comparison and the competition that we sometimes can get roped into.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny that you said it's these issues that we women all struggle with, but I think it's also these issues that no one likes to talk about. So if you had told me 10, 15 years ago that this is what I was going to be on shows talking about or writing books about, I would have been like, you are a crazy person. None of that will ever leave my head. but God had a different plan in mind. My background is in politics, actually, in nonprofit management. Wow. I have a master's degree in public policy, which I do not use at all. I married a fighter pilot in my early 30s, and he became a pastor. We got out of the Marine Corps, and so we had four children fairly quickly. And so mostly I am a homeschool mom and a pastor's wife, but somewhere around the time we planted a church right out after my husband got out of seminary, and I needed an outlet. And so I started writing. And I knew I'd always wanted to write a book, but I started writing for the Dallas Moms blog. I had four kids, four and under. And so it was just very, you know, deeply entrenched in the baby, the babies and toddler stage and all things motherhood. And so I began writing. Exactly. I needed something. And so I began writing for the Dallas Moms blog. Just, I think it was like two posts a month, right? But that was all I could, that was all the time I had free.
Wow. Yeah, and, that's good.
But then as my kids grew a little older, I felt God's nudge to start writing a book. And I decided I was going to write a book on marriage because that would be super fun. And I just thought I had all these great, funny marriage stories that I was going to write about. And words normally flow for me, but I could not get the words out. And what my husband kept telling me when I would complain to him, like, I just can't get the words out, he'd say, you need to write about body image. And I'd be like, you are a crazy man. No. And then I go back to trying to write about marriage, and no, it's a body image book. That's what you're writing. I'm like, no. Yeah. And eventually, either he wore me down or God wore me down, or a combination of them both. And I started writing my body image story, Jamie, and it just came out like quickly. I mean, I wrote the whole book really within the course of like 6-7 weeks. It just had a lot to say.
Way. Is quick.
And so I got it all out there. And of course, it was a much longer journey to getting it published. But that book was called Compared to Who. And really, that book is the story of me recognizing what the real root of my body image issues were. So I was raised in the church. I went to Christian school starting in seventh grade all the way through graduate school. So I knew the Bible. I knew I was fearfully and wonderfully made. I knew I was God's masterpiece. I knew God had a purpose for my life. I knew my body was the temple of the Holy Spirit. Like, there was not a verse on this topic that I didn't know. I'd been to all the women's conferences, you know, learned how to feel good about being God's little princess, all of those things.
Yeah.
And yet there was a constant conversation in my head over what I weighed, what I look like, what size I was wearing, what diet I should be on, how much I should be exercising, and generally whether or not I was good enough on the outside. And that's what consumed me. Now, you wouldn't have known that about me. I mean, like I said, that's the quiet stuff we keep in our heads. No one knows that you're constantly thinking about these things, right? Right.
Yes.
But, yeah. But the reality is I was. It consumed my time. It consumed my thoughts. And it really, really took on kind of a life of its own in ways that I don't even know that I recognized it. It affected my marriage. It affected my friendships. It affected my role as a pastor's wife when that was, you know, when my husband planted a church and he was the lead pastor. And so all these things were impacted by my body image struggles. And I needed freedom. And I didn't actually believe that freedom was possible. To be honest with you, I just thought every woman I know struggles with this. This is just a problem that you have. If you're female, you're going to, tough tamales.
Yeah.
You're a woman. Yeah. You're always going to just struggle with this because, and you hear like over scripturalized things like, right, well, all women long for beauty. So that's why all women are going to have this struggle. But what I really believe that God showed me was that the root of my problems was actually an idol. And once he showed me that, that brought me so much freedom. I mean, I think the good news is that there's cure for sin issues, right? But if we keep calling it just, you know, using the world's terms and calling it just like this struggle, this body image issue, this, you know, comparison issue, whatever it may be, if we keep just being comfortable with the terminology that culture around us uses, we don't have a way out. But if we can look at it through the lens of scripture and really discover that there's some sin lurking under the surface, it's actually really good news because there's a cure for sin. And so that's what the first book is about. And then people were like, you need a book about comparison more broadly. Like, we've got this body image stuff, but how do we figure out how to stop comparing our homes and comparing our marriages and comparing our parenting? And so that's really what the Burden of Better, the book you have, is about, how to stop comparison in its tracks in a broader way and all the different ways it impacts our lives.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. Grateful that I have it in my hands because I have dog-eared it and highlighted everything. And I love how you talked about, I just wanted to read some words that you said because it's in the very first chapter and you just said comparison becomes your identity, driving everything you do and say, affecting every decision you make. And I think we can do that the same with body image. Like, I went through body image as well and I felt like it took over my whole life because it was, you know, dictating, you know, what I eat, what I think, what I do. And it really did control me. And so I can relate to that whole body image and trying to find freedom by realizing it was an idol. I was putting it first and foremost, and where God should be, there was, you know, everything that was relating to how I was feeling about myself and the negative thoughts of my body. And I need to work out more and I need to eat less. And I was just miserable. And so it was a stronghold. You feel like you're in prison, you know, basically. And so I love how comparison, there's very much that parallel. And you actually say too that you go, here's the truth. A life stuck in comparison is an existence of both burden and struggle with no redemption. You always need to do more, have more, be more. Comparison captures us in its prison, trying to meet the impossible and ever-changing standard of better. You can't be fully present in the life God designed for you when you constantly wonder what life would be like if you're more like hers. Right. So I was just like, yes, that is so true. So maybe expand a little bit on, you know, realizing that comparison was this little prison for you.
Sure. Well, you know, we live in America, right? I mean, I don't know that all of your listeners live in America. And I've even noticed with my show on these topics, like I really thought I was speaking to an American audience, but I have an audience growing internationally of women from all over the world that are really stuck in these issues. But one thing here, you know, I can only vouch for what happens here. I've never lived anywhere else. Yeah. But one thing here is we have all of this noise constantly telling us the message of self-improvement, right? And part of that noise comes through marketing, right? And the goal of marketing is to make you feel deficient so you will buy whatever it is they're selling, right? Like that's just bottom line. Any marketer knows what do you have to do to get someone to buy your thing? You have to create need. And how do you create need? Well, you show them that they're missing it, that their life is just sorry without it, right? And so, so we're subject to that, but then we're also subject to this undertone of you can do it. You can be whatever you want to be. You know, just rise up and be strong and do all the things and get it done. And the only reason it's not happening is because you're lazy. Or, you know, so there's like the counter side of that where it's like if you're not doing all the things and on this self-improvement train, well, you're just a lazy slob for not wanting to be better. But the truth is, better is a comparative adjective. So better is one of those words that only exists in the context of comparison. You can't have better unless you are comparing two things, right?
Right.
And so there is a better that we should compare ourselves to, and that's Jesus. But here on this earth, right, like it's a nonstop just – the treadmill that will not turn off. If you are constantly looking around like, oh, well, she's kind of better at that than I am. She dresses better than I do. She's a better mom than I am. Their marriage is better than my marriage. And then it just, there's no way out once you get on that I'm seeking better train. And for most of us, it's so subconscious. Right? Like, I don't think anyone wakes up in the morning and they're like, how can I compare myself to other people and make myself miserable? Like, that's not, that's not where it starts, right?
No.
It starts innocently, right? And isn't that how the enemy deceives us, right? But it starts innocently with like the, you know, hey, it'd be good to get a little better. Like, it'd be good to improve yourself, right? What's wrong with improving, right? And so, but then just gradually, subtly, it's like, oh, I need to be more like that. If I looked like her, then my life would be like this. Or then my husband would treat me like this. Or then if you're single, then I would be married, right? Or, or if I could just be successful like her, then I wouldn't worry about this and I wouldn't stress about that. And, you know, all of these lies really cloud our ability to see the path that God has laid out before us. And the unique journey that he has us on. And, you know, we can just, it's so easy for us to get distracted. And he's just saying, hey, I haven't asked you to look like her. I haven't asked you to be like her. I haven't asked you to do what she's doing. Like, why are you making life so hard? That's kind of how I see God just sitting up there like, you're overcomplicating things. I just asked you to put one step in front of the other. Go ahead.
And I feel like we have like tailor-made triggers or tailor-made comparison triggers. You know, not everybody compares homes or not everybody compares bodies or, you know, each one of us kind of have our own little target that the enemy knows that will he tries to thwart us off with the plans and the design that God has made us in. So
most of the time that's stuff that we're good at, right?
Yeah.
Like it's things like the women I work with, I do body image coaching, and most of the women I work with really struggle because as a child or as a teenager, what they had was beauty. And that's what everyone complimented them for. And that's what everyone recognized about them. And that was part of their identity. And so I think sometimes it's like we compare homes because it becomes part of our identity that, oh, I keep a really nice home. Like I'm a great decorator. Yes. And then I'm going to compare my home with yours just to make sure I'm still good enough. right? And yes. so I think you're exactly right. Like, we all have our triggers, and most of the time those triggers are based on things that God has actually gifted us with, right? So they're good right. things, right? It's good to yeah. be a great decorator, yeah. but then we just kind of like let our identity get so entrenched there that we allow mm-hmm. insecurity to come in and try to rob us from, you know, right. from just really living in the gift that God has given us.
Right. And I love that you said comparison isn't an external issue focused on who we are or the abundance of our possessions. Comparison's quest for better is an issue of the heart, which is just so right on. I mean, you're such a good writer. I mean, one of the things you said, comparison isn't an undefeatable beast. She's more like a scary shadow on the wall. Once you point enough light at her, she disappears. The struggling with comparison, if I can only be this way, you break it down. You have three parts in your book, which is so cool. And I love how, you know, you give us steps on how to release it and, you know, recognize it for what it is and how to deal with it. So would you like to just dive into how we can even start to maybe recover from comparison?
Sure. Well, you know, recovery for us as believers starts with confession always, right? Mm, I mean, that's
so good.
That's step one in our relationship with God. And so I think part of our challenge, and I tread very gently here, but part of our challenge as Christian women is we have comfortably adopted the language of this world. And so comparison, yeah. that sounds nicey-nice, right? Like, and we know mm-hmm. all the like little quotes, like comparison is the thief of joy and don't compare yeah. your behind the scenes to someone else's highlights reel. Like, we have all these little quotes down and we press yeah. like on the little memes and, oh yes, comparison. Oh, that's such a struggle for me, right? And, yeah. But here's the hard truth. The hard truth is comparison is often something the Bible calls envy or covetousness, mm-hmm. jealousy sometimes. Oftentimes mm-hmm. there's pride involved, right?
Yeah.
Because sometimes we compare ourselves to someone we're doing better than and we think, mm-hmm. oh, praise God, I'm not as awful as they are, right?
Right, right.
And that's yes. just pride, right? And
yes.
So I think as Christian women, like step one is to just be honest with ourselves and look at what God's word says and say, oh, wait a second here. Huh. I kind of hate her because she's skinny. That's a problem. That's envy. That's a mm-hmm. sin that Jesus had to die for. I can't just yeah. stay there. I can't just keep making my like, oh, you have a faster metabolism jokes and snarky comments and all those things that mm-hmm. I have seen Christian women speakers do. And I'm about to like, you know, rush yeah. the stage when they do this, like, stop it.
Yeah. But their like, fault they have fast metabolism.
Yeah. Like, it's, you know, I mean, I have women reach out to me that are like that have struggled with weight. And then I also have women reach out to me that have struggled to gain weight. Like
yes,
the body image does not pick
right.
a certain no. body type for yes. for its target, right? But I think we have to get we have to accept the truth of scripture. And, you know, the book of James tells us that envy and jealousy and covetousness and idolatry and all these things, they cause division. mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Rivalries, I think, is how James puts it. Like, these things are really harmful to the body of Christ and they're harmful to us because sin always separates us from God. So I think step one is just naming it with the names mm-hmm. that God uses and saying, oh, wow, okay, I'm sorry, God, this is envy. This is, yeah. I want her car. That's covetousness. I want her car. Or I want her abs. Right? Because we yeah, can kind of objectify other women. It's like, I want her butt. I want, like, we don't see her as a whole person. We just see her as body parts that we can covet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so, yeah.
But that's still covetousness, right?
And so, right.
So coming clean there, recognizing that, you know, that God tells us in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, knowing that there is a path forward after that. And then really just being wise about what we do, right? Like you mentioned mm-hmm. triggers. like knowing where our triggers are. I mean, we built our own house and we still lived outside of Dallas. We lived in an area where it was super affordable to get everything we wanted, affordable compared to, you know, really the rest of the country. And so I had a home with a beautiful kitchen with white cabinets and just HGTV, exactly what I wanted. Well, we moved to Austin and things were a little bit more expensive here.
Yeah.
And so the only way I could have had that home is if I lived like 45 minutes north of where we live now. We live right on the Austin line. So we're almost in the city. And so I had to stop watching HGTV when we moved here. Because what I realized would happen is I would watch HGTV. I would see that home and I would walk into my kitchen and I'd be like, ugh. I hate this kitchen. I hate these countertops. I hate this stove. I hate this kitchen. And it would make me grumbly and discontent all day long. And so if body image is your thing, maybe you're not reading magazines. You're definitely not watching things with women in bikinis or worse, right? Like these things are not going to be helpful for you. They're just, it's just dangling, you know, chocolate in front of your face when you're on a diet, right? Like that's not helpful. And so, so being real with yourself about, okay, these are areas in which I'm triggered and these triggers like lead me into sin, right? Like, you know, they lead me to covet. They lead me to envy. They lead me to have pride and, you know, or to overly be consumed with things that I shouldn't be consumed with, and confess them, acknowledge them, and then just be wise about what you see, what you watch.
Yeah, that's really good, wise advice. I always say healing follows after that surrender, because you're bringing everything to the light. Right. You're, you know, giving it over to the Lord. You're maybe, you know, saying it to your spouse, like, this is my struggle, and you're not keeping it in the dark and keeping it stuffed in. And I think that's really important that we get to that point where we label it, we recognize it, and then that surrender part of giving it over to the Lord. And I love how you said, you know, looking at what Jesus did on the cross for us, looking at that free gift of grace and how he freely gave that to us. So we don't need to live in jealousy. We don't need to live in envy and all those things that comparison can do. And I love how you wrote in your book about the Amazing Race show and how everybody seems to be like, you know, thinking they're winning, and then it just takes a flight that is delayed and you're like, wah, wah, you know, everyone's back to the same course. And I love how you compare that to how each one of us, our sanctification, meaning our growth in Jesus and our relationship, is all different. Like, we don't compare our children, therefore we don't compare our different paths of our sanctification. So I love that, because that just encourages people too, because frankly, some of us, we compare sanctification with other women. Like, oh my gosh, she is so spiritually mature. And God, why aren't I like that yet? You know? And God has us grow in different speeds, and there's reasons why, but we could get a little discontent with our sanctification process.
And just recognizing that life is not a race, nor is it a competition. I mean, if I'm really honest, like, most of my life has been viewed through that lens, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I share this in the book, but like the funny little story of like me, like when I drive fast, I see the time on like the navigation system. If it says what time I'm going to be there, I see that as the time to beat. Like, that is my bent in life, right? Like, if it's a 6:07, I'm going to try to get there at 6:05, you know, and my son, when he was really young, he's probably 2 or 3. I remember we passed a car on the highway and he was just like, yay, mommy wins the race. And I was like, oh, well, you know, we're just driving. This isn't really a race. Yeah. And I thought, no, that is your mother's biggest problem. You have just uncovered it. Like, mommy,
like, what am I teaching them?
Exactly. But I read just a couple weeks ago, Colossians chapter 3, it's verses 12 and 13 in the Message paraphrase. There's just a really insightful little like blip of 5 words in there. And Paul says, be content with second place. And that has just rocked my world for the last couple of weeks. Because I'm like, what would it be like? Like, that just frees us from all comparison, right? If you can look at that other woman and be like, yeah, she's rocking it. She's doing so much better than I am. But that's okay, because I'm content with second place. Like, how that takes the pressure off, right? Like, and that's really what we're called to, right? We're not called to this life of one-upping each other. We're called to a life of humility where we consider others better than ourselves, right? But comparison is so contrary to that. Comparison is, how can I consider myself better than you, right? But that's not what we're called to at all as believers. Mm-hmm. And so being able to just lay that down in all areas, even in the area of sanctification, like you said, life is not a race. And even if it were, even if you're stuck there, what would it be like to be content with second place?
Right. And scripture says the last will be first, the first will be last. And those that live in humility are blessed. They're favored. They're rewarded by the Lord. So it's totally counterculture. One of the many things I love about the book is that you cover everything. Like, we're talking comparing marriages to friendships. I think for most women, just having you talk about, you know, what are the things that you think about before you're going to meet that friend? What kind of feelings do you go through during or even after meeting that friend? Do you want to maybe expand a little bit on what we go through when it comes to our girlfriends? Because I just think that is very profound and significant and kind of a common struggle. I think that's something we don't like to talk about, of what we really kind of feel or what really goes on in our mind with certain friends. So do you have some wise advice for us when it comes to friendships?
Sure. Well, you know, absolutely. It's the same rules apply, right? Like, if you are envying your friend, you're not being a good friend. You're not loving her well.
Right.
Right. And so just like really thinking about 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter that we all know so well, but that has to apply to our friendships. And we're fooling ourselves and no one else if we believe that comparison in friendship isn't harming the friendship. It absolutely is. And so sometimes we can only check our own hearts, right? Like, we can only be responsible for how we enter the friendship. Right. And so to what you alluded to, like, if we are overly consumed with, well, what, you know, oh, is she going to think I'm fat? I need to make sure. I mean, I know women that go so far as to like, oh, I need to like not eat for a couple of days because I'm going to go see this friend and I want her to think I'm skinnier than her, or I want her to think I'm skinny or see me that way. Like, these are the kind of, this is like the level of things that we think about just in terms of friendships, right? I mean, we can go broader than that, right? Like, I mean, it's almost it's a sitcom joke, like having to lose weight before your, you know, high school reunion or whatever. But what is that really about? It's about seeing people that you used to be friends with and being afraid that they're going to judge you and where you're at, right? And wanting to make sure that in the competition, you hold a certain place. And so if you're worried about your body, you're going to think about your body. If you're worried about being successful, you're going to think about, oh, what title is going to be on my business card that I'm going to hand out at that thing. Bottom line is, comparison really devastates our friendships. And then I also just like to encourage women, like, you can be on the receiving side of this and not even know it. But like, if you have a friend that you feel like is constantly kind of keeping score, oh, you always get things done in an amazing way, or, oh, you're Miss Perfect, or those kind of things. I mean, I really think you only have a couple options. Like, I think the Bible tells us, Matthew, right, to call that out, right, gently and lovingly, but say, hey, friend, I feel like there's something going on here. Like, are you comparing yourself to me? You know, like, what's going on? And kind of bringing that to the light. But if it's a friend that won't admit to that, and that's just kind of part of your relationship with her, something maybe that you've grown used to over years and years, that ultimately is not a healthy relationship for you to be in. And so I would just encourage you to just be wise about who you let into your inner circle. I mean, friends are good friends are hard to find, right? Yeah, so we have to be a good friend, but we also have to be wise about who we let into those roles, because friends can lead us in that sin, right? If you're with a woman that's always comparing herself to everyone else, it's going to be really hard for you not to do the same. Right? We just get sucked into that. And so just being mindful of that in the relationships we have, I think, is really helpful.
So good. So well needed to hear all that. So you talked about gratitude, being grateful, and you mentioned joy. So this is towards the end. And I love how after each chapter in your book, you have a takeaway. And I'm big on takeaways. I love it. And I love how you talk about your testimonies, like what you've gone through as well in your own experiences. And one of the things you were talking about was joy. And you broke it down, Jesus and others and you. And I haven't seen that. And I love that. I have seen joy plastered everywhere, but to have that acronym is really cool. So if you want to just explain a little bit on, you know, discovering joy, that gratitude, just kind of getting to that point where that's what we're filling ourselves up.
Sure. Well, so the joy acronym actually comes from the song that I sang as a little kid in church. And it's, oh, okay. Jesus and others and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. Like, and so, I mean, it has stuck with me for a very long time. I don't know if it's still sung in churches anymore. It's really old school. But yeah, I mean, essentially, I think everything culture tells us is find self-love. Decide you love yourself, mm-hmm. right? Decide you right. love your body just as it is. Self-love, mm-hmm. self-worth. Focus on self, self, self. And then you will have this level of contentment that you can go out into the world and feel confident. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, the more we focus on ourselves, the more miserable we become.
Right.
Like self-esteem is a big hoax that more and more psychologists, secular psychologists even, are acknowledging has led us to a generation of narcissists, not mm-hmm. to a generation of confident, well-adjusted, healthy human adults. Right. And so in the 70s and 80s, we were told, if you were alive then, you were told, you know, you just need more self-esteem and then you won't have these problems. And it's just, mm-hmm. it wasn't the right answer. Mm-hmm. And so to find real joy, I think the freedom comes in something that Tim Keller calls self-forgetfulness, mm-hmm. right? Like where we really get free is when we can get our eyes off of ourselves and our obsessions and worrying about me, 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 and what do you think of me? And what does yeah. she think of me? And, you know, am I enough? And all of these things that fill our Instagram feed, where mm-hmm. we really find freedom and joy is when we're like, okay, God, I might not be enough. I am only enough through you, mm-hmm. right? And if I just surrender to what you have for me, that's going to bring me more joy than fixing all the things that I perceive to be wrong with myself and trying to become a better me. No, if I just say, you know what? I acknowledge, God, that you have given me everything I need to accomplish your purpose for my life. That doesn't mm-hmm. mean I need to be 10 pounds thinner or 3 inches taller or have better skin or better hair. No, you have given me everything I need to accomplish your purpose in my life. So take me and use me. And that is where true joy is found, when we can figure out, how has he gifted us? Mm-hmm. What has he, you know, given me gift-wise that I can use for his kingdom? And then what are my passions? Like, what's the intersection between my gifts and my passions and my season of life and who I actually have time to minister to right now? And mm-hmm. once those things come together, and you start operating in those gifts and doing something beyond yourself, yeah. that's when the real freedom comes. And that's when you can really experience joy and contentment in a way that comes from nowhere else. I mean, I really mm-hmm. believe, Jamie, that the reason we chase better is mm-hmm. because we long for rest. Mm-hmm. Right? Rest is really what we want, right? We don't want to get better so we can keep working to be better. We right. want to get better so we can just once and for all be done, so we can rest, yeah. right? Like you don't go on a right, yeah. like you don't go on a diet so you can go off the diet and go on another diet. You go right. on the diet hoping that it will be the last diet you ever have to go on, and then right. after that diet you can rest, right? Mm-hmm. You redo your house so you can rest and enjoy it, right? Like yeah. like we all long for rest. But that rest and the joy that comes with rest doesn't come through self-improvement or home improvement or even marriage improvement or parenting improvement. that mm-hmm. rest comes from just trusting in God's grace and being grateful for the ways that he has already gifted us and blessed us, and then being mm-hmm. willing to say, you know what, your burden is easy, your yoke is light, I'm going to yoke myself to you, and that's when we'll still be working, right? Because we're yoked together. The oxen are still plowing the field, right? Yeah. But I'm going to be able to rest in a way where my heart will just be able to take that deep breath and just enjoy the life that you've given me without wishing it was like anyone else's.
It's so true and right on every word you're saying. I mean, I look back at where I was and nothing satisfied. It was just that more, more, more. And like you're saying, you're just on that treadmill constantly. And it wasn't until I found my personal relationship with Jesus, but then actually stopped looking at myself and, you know, my own desires, to actually looking outward and, oh, how can I help this person? Or how can I use the thing that God has put in me, passions that I've discovered through my sanctification? And that's the fulfillment. That's the joy when we're looking outward and not inward. So if you could just give us a takeaway here for the listeners to marinate on, and they can just kind of take that and apply it to their lives.
Sure. Well, I think my biggest takeaway is you don't have to stay stuck feeling mm-hmm. bad about your body or always comparing yourself to others. Like, that is not something that you should just accept as part of being a woman or part of being whatever classification you have classified yourself as, you know, part of living in this neighborhood or part of, you know, being this age or whatever those things are. Like, you absolutely do not have to stay stuck there. Freedom is possible, and it's not as hard as culture makes it sound. Yes, self-love is hard, but that's mm-hmm. not what God calls us to. So right. You're off the hook.
The burn's released.
Right.
Oh, that's so good. Well, thank you so much, Heather. I want to go ahead and say your website.
Yeah, my website is comparedtowho.me. And my podcast is Compared to Who. And yeah, my books are available. Compared to Who is my first book, and Burden of Better is my second book. And they're available ChristianBook.com, Amazon, all the places Christian books are sold.
Yes. And I highly recommend it, everyone. I'm halfway, oh gosh, a little more than halfway. And I'm telling you, that highlighter has been used, and just so many good nuggets of wisdom and how we can apply it to our everyday life. So thank you, Heather. It was such a pleasure to have you.
My pleasure. Great to be with you.
Thank you so much for listening today. I trust that God has encouraged you through this message. For more information on this ministry and to access free downloads, please visit my website at jamieelizabeth.com and sign up. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at Jamie Elizabeth She Speaks Life. That's J-A-Y-M-E Elizabeth She Speaks Life. Until next time, my friends, I pray God reveals himself through your own life story.